Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. One of my favorite scriptures is from Isaiah chapter 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. God's ways are different from our ways, as are God's thoughts. For instance, how long it has taken for St. Matthew's to get to the point of calling a new pastor. It is obvious that God's thoughts and ways are not our thoughts and ways. Today's scriptures prove that too. First, a little background for the reading from Genesis. Earlier in chapter 12, God says to Abram, "Go where I tell you to go, and I will make of you a great nation." So Abram goes wherever God says to go. Abram obeys in faith. Good job, Abram. But after a little while, Abram notices that God still has not made of him a great nation. It's just Abram and Sarai and sometimes his nephew Lot. The Lord repeated the promise to Abram twice more before Abram complained to God about how God has not kept that promise. Then Abram had a child with Hagar, Sarai's slave, which turned out to be awkward. And then we have today's reading, where the Lord gives Abram a new name, Abraham, and Sarai a new name, Sarah. And then the Lord declares a new covenant, a new promise. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. Abraham still has to wait, not long. But God eventually gives Abraham not just what God had promised at first, but enough to fulfill this later and greater promise. A father, not only of a great nation, but of a multitude of nations. We number those nations today by the three great world religions that claim Abraham as father: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. God did all that when Abraham was 99 years old, way past the age when fatherhood seemed at all likely or even desirable. But God acts in ways that are not our ways. And God acts finally in times that are not our times. Even stranger are the thoughts that God reveals in the gospel for today. Jesus predicts his own suffering and death, and resurrection too, although the crowd gathered doesn't seem to hear that. They are so distressed at the thought of Jesus suffering and dying. Then Peter, the self-appointed leader of the disciples, took that as his cue to disagree with Jesus. And did you notice how delicately Peter handled it? He took Jesus aside. He was not going to embarrass Jesus in front of the crowd or even in front of the other disciples. But Jesus is not embarrassed. Jesus is not delicate on the topic of his suffering and death. God's way will be suffering and death. And Jesus rebukes Peter in front of the other disciples. "Get behind me, Satan." For all Peter's thoughtfulness, he gets called Satan the accuser. And then Jesus says, in an echo of Isaiah 55, "You are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Okay, God's way is suffering and death. But I ask the human question, why God? Why must Jesus, God's Son, suffer and die? And frankly, why must we, who want to become followers of Jesus, deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him? That is a lot to ask, a lot to expect. And I would rather not deny myself. I certainly do not want to take up a cross. And if that is where Jesus is going, I just might want to look in another direction. Can't the truth of God's love be found somewhere else? Like in a really comfortable place, a land of milk and honey, where I can bury my head in a luxurious shore full of sand. No problems. Hakuna Matata. Blah, 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 blah. I prefer denial to self-denial. But the wisdom of God does not go there. The wisdom of God, the ways of God, the thoughts of God go to places we don't want to go. Self-denial, sacrifice, suffering, the cross. So what good news can come out of this strange teaching, this strange commandment from our Lord? Just this, that wherever we don't want to go, Jesus has been there. Whatever we don't want to do, Jesus has already done it. Suffering for what seems like no good earthly reason, Jesus has done it. Jesus suffered, was looked down on, was contradicted even by very close followers, admonished by family members. Jesus was betrayed in lots of ways, and not only by Judas. Jesus was abandoned, hungry, bereft. His body failed him. Jesus has been to all the tragic places we never want to go. And he has made a place for us there with him. The place Jesus has made for us is a place of suffering, a place where good news can be shared. That is what church is supposed to be, a place for sinners, for broken people to hear good news, a place for broken people to come for healing, a place where we can say, "I am broken, but I have hope in my God. Help me feel that hope more strongly." The most recent example of suffering leading to good news comes not from a church, but from a high school. Jesus was there with those high schoolers in Parkland, Florida, in their classrooms and school hallways as the bullets flew. And now they are carrying the cross of their experiences in public for us all to see. They have been in a place of suffering and death. They have come out of it to share the real truth of their pain and brokenness. The pain and brokenness that afflicts the United States far more than any other country on our planet. These teenagers have witnessed that the thoughts and ways of the citizens and government officials of our nation have caused harm to them and many others. Even after they received death threats for speaking out, they still call on us who are adults to change our thoughts and our ways to become more like God's thoughts and ways. I feel chastened by their words, their witness. And I am reminded of the words of Psalm 51, the great penitential psalm used on Ash Wednesday. The sacrifice of God is a troubled spirit, a troubled and broken heart, O God, you will not despise. I have that troubled spirit. I have that broken heart. And I know so many of you do too. The children, the youth of our country are leading us, allowing us to glimpse in the place of suffering and death that God desires us to choose life, to choose God's ways. When we go to an uncomfortable place to share real truth, the real truth of pain and brokenness, but with the hope that the grace of God will come out of it, that is taking up the cross. Not what we want. Only your will be done, O Lord. Your will. Amen.